is Zone 1 Radio.
Zone 1 Radio.
Are you excited about Christmas?
Yeah.
What do you want Santa Claus to bring you?
A narwhal.
What's a narwhal?
It's sort of like a sea unicorn.
A sea unicorn. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's see how that goes when it's all wrapped up. What are you going to get me for Christmas?
Nothing.
I may not be getting anything, but you most certainly are. I'm Zef, Zone 1 Radio's illegitimate expat son, and this is the Email from America Christmas Special. This week, we find out how a Christmas song gets made, and we go on location as yours truly finds out what it's like to be a Father Christmas. And in the spirit of the season, some of the best American artists put on their holiday best, like Death Cab for Cutie. So, email from America, I am dressed up as Santa Claus, and I'm going to be going by the daycare here in Georgetown to meet some little kids and bring to them the mythical joys of Christmas. Now, I'm not going to lie to you, these Santa Claus suits, even though this apparently is a new one, it's very sort of thin and looks like it's made out of crushed cheap polyester velvet type material, and I do apologize right now if the microphone is going in and out. It's actually very hard to broadcast when you're dressed up as a Santa Claus. I'm actually sitting here waiting for my pillow to come to add the necessary girth so that the kids believe that I am Father Christmas. I don't think anyone thinks there's a such thing as a thin Santa Claus. Now, I know just the other week at the World Cup draw, there was a lot of controversy because England have been sent apparently to play a game. They'll be playing a game against Italy in the middle of the Amazon, and there was all kinds of talk that the national football team would have to have injections before they go for their own health. But it would appear that if you're going to dress up as a Santa Claus in one of these old costumes, you may well need to have some injections beforehand. I don't know how professional department store Santa Claus does it. I suspect they get a full medical and checkup before they wear one of these costumes and then have young children sit on them. But anyway, this old costume, it was dry cleaned, although amazingly these sort of costumes, it doesn't matter how many times they've been dry cleaned, I still feel that there's been a dead body in it. Anyway, I'm wearing a full red suit with the nice white furry trim. I have white hair, a white wig on. I have a long fake white beard and some fake reading glasses. I do look slightly ridiculous, though, because I have jet black eyebrows. So obviously that stands out when you're wearing the wig and the white beard. Exactly why Santa Claus has jet black eyebrows. He looks like some sort of, I think I look like some sort of deranged koala bear. Anyway, it is a freezing cold day here in Washington, D.C. There's been some snow this week, so it does feel like Christmas. If anything, it probably feels like a Norman Rockwell painting. If you can imagine a Norman Rockwell painting scene, that's what D.C. looks like today. Anyway, I'm sitting here waiting to go into the daycare. I'm going to have a big sack of presents, and I'm going to be giving out these presents to these kids. I need to practice my ho-ho-hos and my hello, children, in a very deep, old-sounding mid-Atlantic accent. Although I know we've made jokes about my accent before on the Email from America, no doubt some kids will wonder why I sound neither American nor British. Anyway, I'm already... Again, these suits are made out of very cheap material, and I'm already starting to feel my internal temperature rise by a good 10 degrees. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens when I shove a pillow up me. I do have to be honest right at this moment. Little kids are not normally my thing. I tend to like kids once they pass a certain age threshold, like 18. So, yeah, I'm a little bit nervous about having 3 and 4 and 5 year olds placed on my lap without getting too personal. I don't have any kids of my own, so I'm not quite sure why they would pick someone like me to interact with the youngsters. But, yeah, I think we're going to be good to go. We're going to have a bit more coverage shortly of my day as Santa Claus. Now, I know we don't do lowbrow humor on the show, but just a quick advice to anyone dressed up as Santa Claus or wearing any kind of costume. Don't pass wind while you're wearing one of these things, because there really is nowhere for it to go. So I am now almost ready in my Santa suit. I've just taken a cushion and shoved a cushion into my belly. One of the adults helping me prepare was concerned that I wasn't wearing a belt. I did tell them that I don't think a 5-year-old is going to get hung up on whether Santa Claus has a belt when a guy in a red suit and a beard and a bag full of presents is placed in front of them. That being said, when I first stuck the cushion under my jacket, here's a tip for any of you out there trying to get into the Santa Claus business. Wear your cushion lower so that you look fat. You wear it too high, you look like you have a bust. Anyway, we're close to the time when we're going to be going in there, so I now need to put myself in a place where I'm ready to entertain the kids and also ready to be breathed on and drooled on. So this is it. This is Santa Claus on this week's Email from America. So I'm now actually standing outside the daycare building. I'm about to go in there with all the little kids. And like I said before, it is a freezing cold day here in Washington, D.C. And while in real life, Santa Claus is flying around in the upper atmosphere and his suit keeps him warm, these fake suits don't do anything to protect you from the cold. I am freezing my cobs off. It must be like a -2 degree day. You can already hear there people calling out to Santa Claus. So this is legit. I'm actually dressed up. I'm not doing shtick for the radio. I'm actually ready to roll. Put that in your bag. Just get stuff. Hello, girls. Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas. No, I don't know. I'm taking presents to the little kids. Little kids first, big kids later. Hello, young lady. Merry Christmas. Ho, ho, ho. Whoops. There are some. They ready? Tell them I'm bringing the bells. All right, so you can hear the bells. Santa Claus is about to go in. Get ready for the excitement of little kids. Ho, ho, ho. Santa Claus has arrived. Oh, hello. Hello, children. Hey. Ho, ho, ho. Santa Claus is here.
Hello, Santa.
With a big bag of presents for all the boys and girls who've been good. Ho, ho, ho. Hello. Hello, children. Can Santa come and visit for a while? Yes? Hello. And don't forget, I'm the high-fiving Santa. Yay! High fives for Santa Claus. Yes. A modern day high five in Santa Claus. Yay! Ho, 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 children. Look what Santa has brought. Gifts for all the little children. Can Santa sit down? Ooh. Perhaps. Hey, yes. Hello. Hello, boys and girls. What's your name, young lady?
Here.
Pleased to meet you. My name is Father. Father Christmas. Somebody crying. I know what that was like. Oh, dear. Oh, it's a rather large. You're a bit old for this, aren't you? Okay, here we go. Here we go. Hello. Oh, oh, oh. It's okay. It's okay, buddy. Oh, do you want to go down? That guy didn't want his photo opportunity. Photo op with Santa. It's bedlam in here.
20 kids, presents everywhere, Christmas spirit everywhere. Hello, buddy. High five for Santa. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Oh, dearie me. This is quite exhausting. Fist pump. Fist bump in Santa. Boom, 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 boom. Double high five. Boom, boom. There you go. Look at that. Yay.
I want a riding lawnmower.
What, you want a riding lawnmower? All right, well, let me see what Santa can do about that. Rudolph is around the corner. Oh. Rudolph's not allowed in the building. He's very undisciplined. So he, see, we have to keep him around the corner in the parking lot. Oh, yeah, look at that. Oh, look at the skills that Santa has. Santa's playing soccer, playing Santa. Yeah. Santa's got some game. Whoa. Look at this. Ooh, boom. Sandy, yeah. Santa had trials with Tottenham Hotspur.
Hey, baby, I've got something for you, and I want to tell you, but you'll have to.
So, that's it. I've just left the daycare. Now just taken off my Santa Claus hat. I've removed my wig and this beard. Goodness me, my face is all scratchy from the big, hairy, fake white beard. And I must say, I feel like I've just lost about 5 to 10 pounds in bodily fluid. You're sweating in this costume. I'm not joking. Even though it's, I don't know, these cheapo Santa Claus costumes are both non-insulating and extremely making you perspire. Like I said, I'm going to have to wash my hands. All that ho-ho-ho in and yeah, buddy, and high-fiving little kids who've been, you know, wiping their nose and who else knows what else. Yeah, I think it's safe to say that being a Father Christmas is not a job for a germaphobe. And I must say, now having done it, I've got great respect for anyone who dresses up as Santa Claus during the Christmas season. I will say this, and I know I can be a bit of a cynic, but I will say this. Walking in as Father Christmas into a room and seeing all these little kids lose their mind, it does make you remember what Christmas is all about. The cynic in me, I do have to believe that, yeah, Santa Claus and Father Christmas, it doesn't lose his capacity to bring joy to little kids. And there are only 3 little ones that cried and were completely scared of Santa Claus. And that's something that I think I'm not the only one who would remember well. Anyway, this was the Email for America being Santa Claus. Back to the rest of the show. So it's Christmas time, and there's no need to be afraid. An 80s, famous 80s pop reference for you. No need to be afraid of your radio, that is. At least in theory, the holiday season has forever been under siege to the seasonal song that defies good taste and good sense. From Sir Cliff Richard to Shaking Stevens, yes, I'm showing my age now. From E17 to Mr. Blobby, now I'm showing my taste. The Christmas song has been a staple of the pop charts. For an artist making a seasonal record, you are on a hiding to nothing. A good one, and you join a club, of which most entries are lost to the memory. A bad one, and notoriety, I feel thy sting. Norm Boyle is an amateur musician from Falls Church, Virginia, who, with the help of professional singer-songwriter Blue McCauley, took a crack at writing and producing his own holiday single, When the Snow is on the Ground. Norm, your song, When the Snow is on the Ground, that's got an interesting backstory. Can you share a little bit of that with us?
Yeah, I was looking at Kickstarter, and I signed up for an artist to do a songwriting session. His name is Blue, B-L-E-U. He spells like, I guess, the French spelling. And he was raising money to put out a new album. And you know, I thought that'd be fun to do a songwriting session, because I always like to, dabble in songwriting. And I thought, you know, if you're going to write a song, you might as well try to, you know, work with a professional, because that way you can, you know, get a better idea of how to do it, you know, theoretically. I think a lot of people don't really go that approach with songwriting. You know, so I thought, well, you know, if you're going to build a house or do whatever you do, normally you, you know, go to professional.
Were you a fan of his music before you met him?
Yeah, I was a fan because I was a fan of Jellyfish. You know, they're a fun band. They put out two albums and then went their separate ways. And I was searching on their names, and I came up with, you know, this artist, Blue, that had written some songs with both of the lead performers on Jellyfish. You know, that's, you know, separately. He'd written a song with Andy Sturmer, they put out an album with Andy Sturmer that was kind of a fun album where they did kind of a take on ELO, where they kind of copied that style and put out an album called Elio. But then he had the other performer on Jellyfish, Roger Joseph Manning. He did one song with him that I really like.
So what was the experience like collaborating with someone that you think of as a professional?
Yeah, well, the thing that was amazing was, you know, he got right down to business. He said, let's think about what to write about. It was right before Christmas. It was Thanksgiving week. And he's like, how about we do a holiday song? You know, that'd be, you know, a pretty easy thing to do. And I said, that sounds fun. And so he just kind of knew what he was doing. He was very quick with his software, you know, as far as, you know, laying out drum tracks and everything that he was doing. He was extremely fast. And he's like, okay, you know, what are you thinking as far as the holiday song? And I said, I'd like to do a waltz, because I used to like a lot of swing dancing and ballroom dancing. I thought that might be kind of fun to do a seasonal waltz. And then since my wife is Jewish, even though she's not practicing, she likes Christmas and she likes Christmas trees, I thought, well, it might be a good idea to kind of make it seasonal rather than about Christmas only.
Okay.
So, you know, we kind of talked about the snow and the fun things that, you know, Blue would just, you know, kind of say, how does this sound? And if you do a holiday song, how about, you know, getting some drums, you know, some drums that sound kind of like the prum-pa-pum-pum, you know. He was just moving his fingers so fast on his MacBook, on the computer, you know, just pulling things out and wiggling things and saying, oh, that drum doesn't sound quite right. I'm going to switch that to a different brand. You know, he's like pulling buttons, you know, grabbing little things here and there. And he kind of laid out the drum track without even listening to it. He goes, okay, that's done. And he pushes the button into place, and the way he just, you know, changed it, you know, he's so fast, it was amazing.
When the song was finished, did it sound as you'd envisioned it going along? I mean, I know, never having written music or been involved in recording music myself, I'm not exactly at home with the process. But when you were finished and you listened to it, was it what it you felt it was in your mind when you started? I mean, were you satisfied is the wrong word, because it's a terrific track, but did you feel like, yes, that's what I set out to create?
I think so, because it, you know, I wanted it, you know, it's always kind of fun to write a love song, even though I kind of, you know, was thinking more about, since I have two daughters, I was thinking more about the snow with the kids, you know, a lot. But you know, the lyrics kind of portray kind of a love song also. And because I wanted it to, I was kind of thinking about a waltz, because I've always, you know, liked, you know, a few Christmas waltzes, you know, for dancing too. And he you know, said he preferred to do a 6/8 tempo, and I agree with that, just because it's not really the waltz is 3/4, but 6/8 is a little bit more flowing. It's not quite, it doesn't go quite so choppy.
Yeah.
Bum, 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 bum. It's more, you know, it's a little bit different, but you can still waltz to it. I was happy with all that, and, you know, and the way he would say, well, you know, where do you go sledding with your kids? And I kind of say, like, you know, we went to Lemon Tree Elementary, and he goes, how about we say, you know, Lemon Tree Hill? And I feel like that, because that sounds like, you know, Primrose Hill. You know, so we talk about sledding or walking in Lemon Tree Hill, and we talk about, you know, he asked, you know, what do you like to make in the snow, or what do you like to do? And, you know, in the wintertime, and, you know, we talk about, you know, being cold, and you'd have your cheeks rosy or red, or, you know, and your breath coming out of your mouth when it's really cold. So we were talking about everything that happens in the wintertime and how to try to put it down on the tracks. And then he would use some software to help with the, you know, rhyming a little bit, you know, so we could, you know, we'd type in there, you know, a certain phrase, you know, what did that rhyme with? And it'd pop up a word here or there, you know, to say, you know, that word might work. And, you know, we'd think about it. But so it actually went really quick, you know, so I would recommend anybody, you know, that had an idea, you know, that had an inkling to do some songwriting, to even to think about it, because, you know, to be honest, I've done a lot of, you know, work with my friends over the years, just kind of casually. And, you know, we've written songs, but I never really get them, you know, produced or anything. We just kind of have them, you know, just tracks here and there that we kind of made up. And, you know, we have our songs that we've recorded on a cassette tape or whatever, you know, way back when, but we never really produced them. And I think that's the part that a lot of people just don't go that extra step and actually make it, you know, get a produced product out there.
So now, final question for you, Norm. What are you going to do next?
Well, I keep thinking I want to get some of my old songs and just try to, you know, polish them up a little bit, maybe produce them. You know, I mean, I don't really think I want to spend money to do a lot of production, but it's pretty easy these days. Just on the computer, you can almost do it yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and I probably could if I just took the time. So I guess, you know, I have a few good friends that still like to do music, so that's what I'd like to do if I just make the time for myself.
Well, Norm, let me say this: when you finish your album, you definitely have a great Christmas song to anchor it down. Norman, thanks for being on. thanks for being on the Email for America. We will check in with you in the future. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Making snow.
right, so it's email time on the Email for America. Let me see, what do I have written here? Ah, a note to self. So Nelson Mandela passes away. All the world leaders show up in South Africa for the memorial. And as always, when you get that much leadership in one place, there was always going to be some sort of controversy. Now, this time, it wasn't about who stood where in a group photo. Instead, it's about a trio of the world's finest taking a photo, a selfie, no less. President Obama, Prime Minister Cameron, and Danish Prime Minister Helle Thorning-Schmidt. What's her name? Anyway, I'm very late to the whole selfie thing, though you could make the case that this week's show, and many a week's show, are nothing more than a one-hour selfie, but let's not get hung up on that. I mean, it is radio after all, and what is radio but the sound of one person talking to himself? Anyway, Selfiegate, as I saw it referred to on the Guardian website, is as big or as little as your own personal code of cell phone behavior. Not being a selfie-nator myself, you don't know that term. It's what you call someone who takes selfies. And if you haven't heard that term, then you know something. You heard it here first. And Zone 1 Radio and the Email from America will be trademarking it, copywriting it, whatever the term is. Selfie-nator. Yeah, that belongs to us now. So Obama, Cameron, and Thomas Schmidt, what's her name, decide to take a picture of themselves. No big deal. I mean, they're always being officially photographed. Most of those, though, they lack any spontaneity. So is there really nothing wrong with them getting a few snaps for their private album? Thorning-Schmidt, what's her name, seems to be on the edge as far as her job security. Obama is into his second term, and David Cameron could well be a one-and-done PM. So I can't fault any of them for wanting some sort of souvenir from their time at the top of the globe-trotting geopolitic. No, my question in all of this is, why couldn't they have just got someone else to take the photo for them? You've got a football stadium full of world leaders. And that means there's a football stadium full of the attendant gophers and lackeys, or to go by their technical term, aides and assistants. Wasn't there anyone available to give it the old, oh, do you want me to help you with that, sir? I think that's the reason Michelle Obama looked so, well, unhappy with it all. She was just embarrassed. Her husband's the most powerful man in the world. Well, one of them. And he couldn't get any of the staff to do it. Instead, he sat there like some teenager in the pub after too many pints. Or a teenager in the pub with his very first pint. Anyway, I know I'm late to this whole thing. The whole selfie thing. I'm not a selfie-nator, remember. And I really don't get the fascination of taking your own picture. I mean, you know, I just give the camera to someone else. It's not art. Ultimately, though, what's the harm in it all? Three world leaders taking a selfie isn't controversial. They are selfie-made men and women. It was probably a little selfie-absorbed, as they were at a memorial service. Hadn't old Obama just finished giving one of his serious face speeches, one of those where he points his index finger while he lectures us? Mind you, neither Dave nor Helle Thingy What's-Her-Face, they don't get asked to give speeches at these things, such as the world's not-so-new order. And that sentence was nothing more than an excuse for a 90s pop reference. It definitely all seemed a little selfie-ish. But to be honest, all the attention being paid to it is the most stupid thing about this. It's just the media being, well, selfie-aggrandizing. As I said, I don't do selfies. Unless I'm dropping them like bad puns all over the Email for America, I really don't care for them. I think they're slightly odd and a rather overblown phenomenon. You can manipulate your selfiness in far more satisfying ways without exposing yourself. And with that thought, I'll leave it with you to figure it out for your own good self. E. right, so you figured out that this is not a Christmas song. No, because this is the instrumental that closes the show, and the instrumental that closes the show is exempt from all the rules that apply to the rest of the show. So this is not an American tune. It is not a Christmas tune. Because you know something? There's only so much Christmas music that I can take. So I'm giving you this song instead as the instrumental, as a break from all the Christmas music, so you can dance around the kitchen or the front room or get out in the yard away from the family and just cut loose for a few minutes. This is one long 80s pop reference. This is Pig Bags, Papa's Got a Brand New Bag. And is the full 12-inch version. So anyway, before I let you hear the rest of the 12-inch version, as always, it's the instrumental, so there is some housekeeping to do. The housekeeping to do is to thank everyone who was part of this week's show. First of all, a big thank you to the daycare at Georgetown Visitation for inviting Santa into their Christmas celebration. Also, a thank you to our guest, Norm Boyle, who was kind enough to talk about his song that he wrote with Blue Macaulay. As always, thanks to our music coordinator, Sam, who put nearly all the tunes together, apart from this one, because this was my choice and I overruled her. Of course, a big thank you to all of you out there who listen to Zone 1, all the great shows on Zone 1, and also listen to this show on Zone 1 Radio. Thanks to all of you. Merry Christmas. Living here in America, Christmas is still great, but it's not quite as great as it was in all the boroughs of my youth. So a big shout out to everyone who lives in Hackney, in Westbourne Grove, in Stoke Newington, and in Walthamstow. Yes, Christmas in all those places is just a bit more special than Christmas here in Washington, D.C. So I will see you in the new year. You will hear from me in the new year. But until then, to paraphrase the words of the U.S. Navy's Top Gun Training Squadron over there at Miramar, have a bandit holiday. Oh, almost forgot one more song to go after this. Yet another version of Blue Christmas.
Zone 1 Radio.
Zone 1 Radio.